I'd like to welcome any this morning who may be here for the first time. I see a few faces that I don't recognize. Maybe you don't think it's possible for a pastor to look over a congregation and do that, but he does. And to those of you who are here for the first time, I pray that God will wonderfully bless you as you worship with us. I'm thankful it's a nice cool day. Praise the Lord for that. And of course, being a little cloudy meant that some possibly couldn't go where they might go sometimes. You know, it's good sometimes, I think, that the Lord sends a little rain on Sunday and keeps people from going to places that he would rather not have them go to until first they have worshiped Jesus Christ. And so I praise God that you're here this morning and that you'll be comfortably cool while I preach. Air-conditioned church. Isn't that wonderful? Who knows, one day we might have an air-conditioned church. It could happen. I'd like to talk to you this morning about two sowers, two sons, and two souls in judgment. I have my blackboard behind me, the backdrop for what I would like to say, and the parable that I'm going to read is not the parable that you think of as far as the sowers go. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares, and it's found over in Matthew, the 13th chapter. If you have your Bible there, I will read you the portion, Matthew 13, beginning at the 24th verse. Matthew 13, the 24th verse. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Now, might I say just a few things here before we go any further? First of all, it's telling us here that in the church, there are a mixed group of people. Here this morning, there are wheat and tares. Let's be frank. You know which you are this morning. There are wheat and tares. Wheat, as we shall see when I give the interpretation that Jesus gives, wheat are the children of the kingdom, and tares are the children of the devil. The mere fact that people come to church does not mean that they are children of the kingdom. People come to church for any one of a number of reasons. Some people come to church because it's the thing to do. In a community, it looks well if you get to church now and then. Some might even come every Sunday from the same motive or impetus. Others come to church because they may have friends in the church. And if they didn't come, they might be ostracized by their friends. There are some who come to church who really believe on Jesus Christ with all their heart. And they come because they find it is the source of holy blessing, infinite to the soul. The person who comes to church and goes out with nothing, has received nothing, has no different aspect or view of life, lives the same as does the world outside, certainly this group of people are not amongst those of whom God is speaking here when he calls it wheat. There are wheat and tares in the church. And you notice that the men said, Don't you let us separate them. Why don't you let us pick out the tares and pull them out? But God in his infinite wisdom says, No,
Don't you touch the tares, lest when doing so, he says, let both grow together, lest while ye gather the tares, ye root up also some of the wheat with them. In other words, your discernment is not good enough. My discernment is not good enough. Your testimony by word of mouth might be such that it is so beautiful and so wonderful to hear that you never could discern the difference. You may not have the Holy Spirit at all. The Holy Spirit may not dwell in your heart, but you might have the capacity to talk in such a fashion that the deacons might meet with you and be quite convinced that you're a child of God. They might be quite convinced that you should go through the waters of baptism, that you're really a believer, and that you should be brought into the Church of Jesus Christ. But only God knows the heart. Man looks upon the outward things, but God looks upon the heart. So when I speak this morning, each of you know whether you are wheat, the children of the kingdom, or whether you are tares. You are here, but you do not honestly have a faith in Jesus Christ that is divine and real and intense. People who tell me that they are in love with Jesus Christ, but they have no intenseness, there's no passion in their life, there's no love in their life for Jesus Christ, beloved, it's a difficult thing for me to believe, because I find that the Scripture says that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, and he is the bridegroom. And if there ever is a love that's deep and holy, it's between a bride and a bridegroom. And to tell us that we belong to Jesus Christ, or we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, but there's no love, there's no desire for the Word of God, which is his love letter. The Word of God is his love letter to mankind. As I've said before, you cherish the love letters you receive, or I hope you do, from the one you love the most. You cherish them. You reread them. They're important to you. But if you don't read the Word of God, if you have no desire for real fellowship with God's children, if you find in the world you have more fun and more pleasure, and you get all the kick of life out in the world, then be sure you're not a child of God. Because Jesus says, all that is in the world is at enmity with God. So you are making a friend of that which is at enmity with God. Where is the intenseness of your desire this morning? Is it toward Jesus Christ, toward God, or is it toward the world outside? What can the world give you? What is the end of all that the world affords you but a coffin? What are all your fleshly pleasures to end in but in the grave? And so when he speaks here, you notice what he said in the 25th verse. He said in the 24th, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, while the church was sound asleep, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The church does its best spiritually to keep the very tenor of its congregation, the tenor of its people, at a high spiritual plane according to the preaching from the pulpit, according to the Holy Spirit's power in our midst. But, beloved, if the church is asleep, if it is not dynamic, we have outside a sign, a living church with a living message. But if that living message doesn't get any further than the pastor, if it doesn't sink into heart, the church is asleep. And while men sleep, others come in, and the best churches in this land, some of the finest churches that this country has ever put forth with great preachers, today are in the hands of rank modernism because men slept. The church was asleep, and preachers got in who didn't preach the Word of God, and there wasn't discernment in the church, and they were brought in as preachers, and before long the whole congregation had sunk down to a low level spiritually. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn and gather the wheat into my barn. My beloved, I would remind you that this is Jesus Christ's teaching. So many people, when they hear a message about condemnation or hell or judgment or Satan, right away, I mean, they say, you know, well, after all, that's the preacher. But this is Jesus Christ speaking. Now,
I want you to see first the interpretation. Where's my chalk? Jesus spoke many other parables. And, you know, then after the multitude went away, it's a peculiar thing, but I want you to notice what the disciples do. Go to the 36th verse. Notice what happened. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, notice the one thing they want to know is, that eight parables. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. We must understand this thing. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. All right, now we have, therefore, let's put it right up here. Two sowers. Number one, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. That there, the Son of Man, is found in Matthew 13:37. The field is the world. Notice how big the field is. The good seed are what? The children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. All right. Let's be clear. There are two mighty spiritual powers in the universe. One is God, the other is Satan. In the ages past, long before the creation of man upon this earth, possibly billions of years ago, we do not know, but God had created Lucifer, the chosen cherub of God, who had the highest place, who was the prince of all of God's creation, a spiritual power. Lucifer decided, according to Isaiah and other portions, that he would seek the worship of the angels for himself. And he fell from his high estate, and God cast him out, the great spiritual power. He was not the Son of God. He cast him out, the great spiritual power, and Satan took with him a legion of angelic creation. And therefore, in the world today, we find that Jesus says, there is a place which I have prepared for Satan and his angels. Let's be clear so that we know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with tremendous spiritual realities in this world. We're dealing with two great kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of Satan. Two great dynasties. You are either a member of one or a member of the other. And here, the Son of Man is first of all the sower, and that is in Matthew 13:37. I'll put the reference here. Matthew 13:37. And then number two, we have who? The devil. Or Satan. Now, I don't want anybody to argue with me about this because Jesus said so. The only reason you're in church this morning and seated in a pew is because Jesus said so. There would be no church except for Jesus Christ. There would be synagogues, but the church of Jesus Christ has been the great force of all human history. The great power because the Spirit of God is behind it. That has revolutionized wherever it has gone. And Jesus is speaking. And Jesus says, there is one, the sower, the Son of Man, and secondly, the sower, the devil. Matthew 13:39. So if anybody asks you, you can quote Jesus Christ so that they know that there are two sowers in the world. Both sowers are spiritual powers. The devil is much bigger than you are. Satan, Lucifer. Jesus calls him many names. Satan, the deceiver, the prince of this world, the prince of the powers of the air, the god of this world, the serpent. He's used in many, many names are used concerning Satan. Satan is a great spiritual power. He is much more powerful than you will ever be. He is far beyond any comprehension that we have. He is second only unto God. The two great spiritual powers are God and Satan. And there is a war between the two, the greatest war of the universe. Now, the creator of the created one, of Satan, is God himself. But when Satan was created, he was created perfect. He was called the very light. They gave him a name that was wondrous. like the morning star, as Lucifer. But, beloved, he became, when he fell away from God, the beginning of all evil. This is the great mystery of God. That out in this world, there are two great forces, and they are spiritual forces, and one is dragging down into hell, and the other is seeking to satisfy the yearnings of the soul, the aspirations of the soul to draw to heaven itself. And this is the war that is going on within this body that we have. One fighting against the other. The testimony, beloved, of even this last week indicates who is the God of this world in compass. Who is in control, by and large, of the world at the present moment? It is under God's hand, and nothing can happen that God will not allow. But at the same time, when we read and we see in the papers all of the evil that is going on, we realize Jesus' words. Satan, he says, is the God of this world. He's the prince of the powers of the air. And all we have to do is look into newspapers to find out whether God's word is true or not. Or if you listen to the testimony this week down in Congress about nuclear warfare, you've got a very good picture of mankind and what they're planning. Nuclear bomb over Long Island. The first attack, 2 hours, in a limited attack, not a full-scale attack. Limited attack. They're only taking the minimum. 6 million dead here. 6 million. 2 million injured, seriously. Certain areas completely wiped out. Manhattan gone. Every building down. Every soul in Manhattan, if it hits right, dead. And if you escape, you have 1/2 hour to get out before the fallout comes and give you 3,000 megatons, I think it is, of radiation, which kill you in 15 minutes anyway. National attack, right in your papers, you can read it today. 50 million dead, 20 million injured seriously, 70 million, one in every three persons in the United States in the first day of attack. Who is the God of this world? Satan is the God of this world. Who is leading men into deeper and deeper degradation, into deeper and deeper abysses of war and torture, such as the world has never known before? Satan. Beloved, there are two great spiritual powers in the world, two swords. And either one seed is being sown in your heart or the other. Either God, through Jesus Christ, is sowing the good seed in your heart, so you are part of the kingdom, or you are having the other seed sown in your heart, whether you know it or not. Remember, we are by our first birth the children of wrath, according to God. According to God, when we're born into this world, we are flesh, and Satan works upon the flesh. We do not come into this world as the children of God, according to Jesus Christ. He says, ye are all the children of your father, the devil, until you come to me. And when you receive me, you become the children of God. This is the word of God. And so the two seeds are being sown. The seed, which has been sown in your heart this morning? Which can you say, I know? I know that Christ is my Savior. I have no doubts of it. It's divine, it's real, it's sincere, it's true. I can look anyone straight in the eye and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, and I know it. I want my child to know it. I want my wife to know it. I want my husband to know it. I want the world to know. I believe on Christ. Or rather, from your heart, is it coming, I really don't know what I believe, because the minute you say that, you're saying, I belong to the other kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of which, according to God, Satan is the head, because I've done nothing about my faith in Jesus Christ. I have never made a decision. I've just stood still, and that's all you have to do. Just stand still and do nothing and make no decision about God, no decision about Jesus Christ, and God says you're in the other kingdom, you're a tare, and one day they'll gather the tares together and burn them all up, and then the wheat shall be gathered into the barn. The final judgment of God. according to this word. Listen what he says. The good seed of the children of the kingdom, the tares of the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Jesus speaking. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you are going to do one of two things. God says now, you're either going to shut your ears and say, I'll not listen, or you're going to say, I will listen to the divine Son of God. The minute you deny these words, you deny Christ, and you call him a liar. And the minute we call him a liar, we find the word of God is very clear that no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. For we are saying that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ has been most clear in what he has had to say. There are two sowers, the Son of Man, who came and sowed the good seed, the devil, who came and sowed the bad seed, the tare, the wheat and the tare. Then from that you have two sons. Can't miss. Two sons. You are either a son of one or a son of the other. According to the word here, it says the tares are the children of the wicked one. The children of the wicked one. Jesus says ye are a father, the devil. He called the devil the father of all those who were outside of Jesus Christ. And so the good seed of the children of God's kingdom, his sons, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? The sons of God. You become a son of God by what? Faith in Jesus Christ. To as many as receive him, to them has he given the power to become the sons of God. Then number two, the tares, the bad seed, are sown by the devil, and according to the word, they are the children of the wicked one. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, the word for devil in the Greek is a good word. The word for the devil in the Greek is tan panaron. It means the pernicious one. You've heard of pernicious anemia, pernicious things. Pernicious means incurably wicked and continually so. There are two words for wicked or wickedness in the scripture, in the Greek. One is tanpanaron, and the other word is kekos. Now, of a man, we may say that he is a kekos man. And when we would say that, we would say of him that he's content to perish in his own sin. He's content to perish in his own corruption, by himself, the kekos man. If we were to say that a man was a tanpanaron man, we would be saying that he's not content to perish by himself, but he is only content when he has dragged everyone else down with him. And so it is of Satan. Man could fit either word, but Satan himself, his whole intention, the great deceiver has but one intention, and that intention is to seek the ultimate downfall of every single soul in this church. If you're a sinner, to seek your eternal damnation. And if you're a saint, to seek that he might ruin your faith. That he might make your faith shipwrecked. That is the purpose of Satan. He works in two spheres. One to hold the unbeliever in his hand, and the other to get the believer to fall into sin and to become a castaway before God himself. Now, beloved, what son are you? It tells us here that the good seed are those who are really born twice. If you're born once, you're born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh and blood, God says, cannot inherit eternal life. It's an impossibility for corruptible to put on incorruption.
You have no capacity this morning. You have a body, but you're corruptible. You can go to the doctor, you can do everything you like, but you're bound to corrupt. Can't get away from it. You're bound to die unless Jesus comes. This body is corruptible. You were born of a corruptible seed. Your mother and father could do nothing about making you incorruptible. And so there are two seeds of which you are born. You are born a corruptible seed, which heads you for eternal separation from God, unless you come and are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. How can a man become incorruptible before God? Only after he has been born twice. Born the first time of fleshly seed, born the second time of incorruptible seed, according to Peter, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You heard the Word of God, you believed the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, and you were born into the family of God. You must be born into the family of God. You're not born by natural birth into the family of God. Now, the wheat and the tares, what would we have then? We would have the wheat who have been born of God, a supernatural birth, born of the Spirit of God. You came to Christ to receive Him as your personal Savior. You've been born again, and it is a supernatural act of God to make you His own blessed Son. Born into the family, part of the family of God, and God will love you from now through all eternity. But there is also the tares, and they are the natural seed. That which just came into the world, was born into the world, came and may even be seated in the church, have never received Christ as their Savior, so that God can say in every church there are wheat and there are tares. But don't you try to figure out who's who. Don't you try, by your own discernment, to root out the tares and say, now you can't come to church anymore because you don't believe. And you can stay here. God says you let them grow side by side. Don't you worry about it. One day the harvest is coming, and I will send my angels, and they will take the tares out of the church, so-called, and they cannot possibly enter my kingdom. It's an impossibility. But I will take the wheat and I will gather them into my barns. Which are you this morning?
We have here the two sowers, the two sons, and the two souls in judgment. I'm just going to close with that. Two souls in judgment. And that judgment is just what I've been speaking about. The two souls in judgment. Either you are one with Christ, or you are one with Satan.
Now, it's not a matter, you see, of believing in Satan. It's not a matter of whether you say, I believe in Satan. Like we say, I believe in the Son of God, therefore I know that I have eternal life. God never requires an act of faith in Satan so that you might know that you're going to hell. He says all you've got to do is not believe in what is preached concerning Jesus Christ as a Savior, and automatically you just stay in the kingdom which belongs to Satan. You don't have to do anything about it. You just stay there. And judgment is eternal. When God's judgment comes, when He gathers the tares, and He says He will gather the tares and separate them from the wheat, that's it. Two souls in eternal judgment. What will your judgment be? There are two sowers sowing two seeds. There are two sons. You are either the son of God by faith in Jesus Christ, or according to the Word of God, you are the children of the evil one. And then there are two souls in judgment. Which will you be? At the judgment seat of Christ to just receive from Him whatever rewards He has for you? Or will you be at the great white throne of God there to have the eternal judgment when He looks at you and according to Revelation says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Jesus is speaking. He says, because I knew you not. You gave all of the evidences. You came to church. You appeared in the church. You did everything. But you were just like the Pharisees. You worshiped me with your lips, but your hearts were far from me. Which is it? I always think that as I preach, every heart is doing one of two things. They are either rebelling against Jesus and saying, I don't want to believe this. This is the devil. This is the greatest spiritual power, second to God, taking hold of our flesh and wrenching it and saying, I would believe him. I'll go my way. Beloved, wrench yourself free of such a power and give yourself to God and believe on Christ and believe his word and have the joy of salvation in your heart this morning. Which is it for you?
This is God's word. You know, I suppose if I made up a plan to get people into heaven, probably say, now I tell you what I want you to do.
Just be a good father. Be a good mother. Be a good boy. Be a good girl. I listened to a Protestant portion this morning on television. And if I were seeking faith in Jesus Christ, I would come away from that about as sick as I could ever be, because I didn't hear the word Jesus Christ mentioned once. And it was the Christian portion, the Protestant portion on television this morning. Not one single mention about Jesus Christ. They were talking about shells by the seashore and how pretty they are. And how you can make little things out of it. This is the Protestant hour. Do you know what the word Protestant means? The word Protestant means for testimony. For testimony. Pro, for. Test. For testimony. And beloved, if I were forming the plan, I would just say, be nice people and God will take you all into the kingdom. But the minute I did it, I would have to rebel against the word of God and say, I've got a new kind of religion for you if you do it this way. Because God says, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to my mercy, I've saved you. Have you received the mercy of God this morning? He says, by the works of the flesh shall no man be justified in the sight of God. Only by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Have you this infinite, holy faith in Jesus Christ, so that when you leave this church this morning, you can say, I know that I've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. I'm saved. I'm bound for heaven. I'll never be amongst the tares. I'm in the wheat. Are you in the wheat this morning? Let us pray.
Gracious God, we pray that thou bless this thy word to our hearts. And Lord, we remember that Peter said concerning Paul, some of the things that Paul says, he says, are hard to be received. And Paul says, shall I please men or shall I please God? I must please God. And so, our Father, we pray that as the word has been preached this morning, the very words of Christ, that we might realize that there is a war far beyond any war that we've ever seen or contemplated, a war between two great spiritual powers for the souls of men, and that the result of that war shall determine where we shall appear in judgment. May our judgment, our Father, be passed because we have received Christ and he paid the penalty for our sin, or shall we have to pay the penalty for our sin because we failed to receive him as our Savior? Father, we pray this morning that no soul will leave without Jesus Christ. We pray that every soul here will be amongst the wheat, not amongst the tares. That God will have a congregation here composed of wheat, those who are truly children of the kingdom, born again of the seed of the word of God. While our heads are bowed, possibly this morning, every eye closed, no one looking around, you'd like to say, Pastor, pray for me. This morning I want to make sure that I'm part of that great harvest of wheat that Christ shall gather into his barns. I desire not to be amongst those who have done nothing about Jesus. Remember thy word in the Old Testament which says, O all ye that pass me by, cannot ye see my sorrow? Are you truly saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Can you say with Paul, I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? Do you know him?
Are you redeemed? Have you just been religious? There are lots of religious people. The Pharisees were the most religious people in Jesus' day. What he said is just lip service. Your hearts are far from me. Have you a heart faith in Christ this morning? Have you made a decision? Do you really know him? Look into your heart right now. Don't let it pass by. Have you made a decision? If while I'm speaking you've been saying, Pastor, this morning I'm really making a decision for Jesus Christ. I want him as my Savior. I want to be part of that great harvest of wheat. Oh, Father, don't let me be a tare. Lord, let me be part of the great harvest of thine own. If you've done that, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Every eye closed. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone? Anywhere? Mother, daddy, boy or girl, doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. Doesn't matter whether you're Baptist or Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever you might be, Catholic. Do you really know Christ this morning as your Savior? If not, why not? Just by that upraised hand, say, Pastor, it's a time of decision for me. I'm a mother. Oh, God, help me to be a godly mother and to serve Christ. Help my children to love him. Any mother, just put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. Any mother? Anywhere? Mother? Why not today? Maybe you're a little timid and you're saying, oh, I should put my hand up. I want to. Well, you put it up. God will bless you for it. Mother, anywhere? Don't be timid. Put that hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Any mother? Anywhere? Any dad? Mother or dad? Put that hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone at all? Mother or dad? Boy or girl? Here's your opportunity now. Put that hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone? Last minute. The pastor never closes the invitation. You do. Anyone at all, you'd like to say yes to the Lord this morning? Just one moment and then we'll close the service. Lord, I would be part of thy great harvest of wheat. Save me. Keep me. Make me what you want me to be. Anyone? Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. Bless it to our hearts. We pray that if there be anyone who has not truly made their decision for Christ yet, that before this day is out, before the hour is out, they may say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his blessed name. Amen. All right, let us sing in closing. Hymn number 126, we're marching to Zion. And two things I would have you remember. First, tonight's service with the young people panel, and then as you leave, if you'd like to give toward the cerebral palsy children going to camp. And also, Seek magazine, the new Seek magazine is in for those of you who have daily devotions, and I hope you all do, one per family. There is sufficient out there for one Seek magazine per family. Use them every day in your daily devotions. All right? 126. Let us rise as we sing. Now, gracious Father, as we leave this place this morning, we pray that each one will have a true and a sincere faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but more than this, that He will be the Lord of their lives and lead them day by day. Father, bless us as we go, and may we look to the day when Christ shall rent the clouds of heaven and receive His own unto Himself and gather His own into His bonds. Lord, bless every heart, bless every family and every family life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.